Dr. William Luther Pierce, 2002. Bad news and good news.
Hello. Let's begin today by reminding ourselves of something we talked about on this program 2 weeks ago, and that is the increasing corruption and politicization of America's most important national security and law enforcement organizations. We talked specifically about two glaring and shameful lapses on the part of the Justice Department and the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The first of these was the refusal to prosecute some 200 Israeli espionage agents in the biggest spy ring ever broken up in this country. These Jewish espionage agents were arrested by the FBI last year, both before and after the September 11th attack. After September 11th, however, when the Bush government realized that these Israeli agents not only had been spying on various U.S. military and government installations, but also had been shadowing the Al-Qaeda agents in this country and had advance information about the attack that it did not share with the U.S. government, they all were quietly sent back to Israel instead of being prosecuted. The Bush government's reason for simply letting all of these spies go was that prosecuting them for espionage would have been extremely embarrassing to Israel and would have thrown a spotlight on the whole issue of U.S.-Israeli relations at a time when the government was desperate to keep the public from thinking about why America was attacked on September 11th. Mr. Bush knew that the controlled news media also didn't want the public asking questions about this very delicate subject, and he knew that if he simply sent the spies quietly back to Israel, no one in the media would criticize him for it. On the other hand, the prosecution of the 200 spies for espionage would have brought things to the surface that would have earned Mr. Bush the undying hatred of the media Jews and of all of Israel's other support groups in this country. They would have given him the Richard Nixon treatment. It would have been political suicide for him. So he ordered the FBI to turn them loose and send them home. Well, the good news in this sorry episode is that, despite the silence of the mainstream media, this issue isn't just fading away. Many media in Europe are continuing to bring out new details almost on a daily basis. And because of the Internet, many of America's perceptive and thoughtful minority are learning about these things too and are discussing them. For example, a 60-page internal report on the Israeli espionage activity prepared by the Drug Enforcement Administration is now in general circulation. 2 weeks ago, when we first talked about this Jewish espionage, only brief excerpts from this confidential DEA report were available on the Internet. I believe it is likely that more and more information on this subject will continue to become public. It's too late, of course, to prosecute the spies now, and Sally Soccermom and Joe Sixpack will continue to remain completely ignorant of the entire affair. But more and more members of the perceptive minority will learn about it, and that will cause at least some embarrassment in both the Bush administration and in the FBI. And that embarrassment, especially among career FBI people, is a very good thing. The other thing we discussed 2 weeks ago is the FBI's failure so far to charge anyone for mailing anthrax-infected letters. I suggested that the FBI probably knows who the perpetrator is, but may have been ordered by the Bush government not to arrest him, because it would be embarrassing to the media, to Israel, and to Mr. Bush himself. I suggested that the anthrax case may be something that Mr. Bush and his Jewish handlers would like to see fade away quietly, as they hoped the Israeli espionage matter would. The more information that comes out on the espionage case, however, the more difficult it will be to avoid charging the guilty party in the anthrax case. I think that all of the people involved believed that they could just cover up the Jewish espionage arrests and no one would notice. They certainly used to be able to get away with that sort of thing. Remember the USS Liberty? That was back in 1967, before the Internet, and the government of Lyndon Johnson, the Navy brass and the Pentagon, and the Jewish media all collaborated in a huge cover-up in order to avoid embarrassing the Jews. The Israelis had attacked a U.S. Navy ship and tried to sink it so that they could blame it on Egypt and cause anti-Egyptian feeling in the United States. And they killed 35 American crewmen in the attempt. That should have brought massive military retaliation against Israel. But it brought a cover-up instead. And the cover-up worked. The surviving crew members were ordered to keep their mouths shut. And most Americans never heard about the USS Liberty. I don't think that the Jews could get away with that sort of thing today. So, the more information that leaks out on the Bush government's failure to prosecute the arrested Jewish spies, the more the Bush people and the FBI people must fear that if they continue to avoid arresting the anthrax mailer, the information will leak out anyway. And when it does, it will make them look very bad indeed if it appears that they tried to cover it up. In the case of the FBI, they have to choose between following the politically motivated directives from the White House and maintaining a cover-up on the one hand, or defying the White House and risking career reprisals. There is an internal shakeup and reorganization going on now in the FBI, and I believe the reason for this is not to increase the FBI's efficiency as a law enforcement agency, but instead to adapt it better to its politicized role and allow it to do a better job of maintaining cover-ups without leaks. The bright side of this is that the more corrupt the government and its secret police agencies become, the easier it becomes to fight them. The most formidable enemy is an honest enemy, an enemy who believes in the rightness of his cause. A corrupt enemy who cares only about his career will be easier to defeat. And it should be painfully clear now to every perceptive patriot that there is no way to regain control of our destiny and secure our freedom, or even our survival, without fighting and defeating the present government. Considerations of this sort have been on my mind not only in connection with the preparation of these weekly broadcasts, but also in connection with my responsibility as the chairman of the National Alliance. We have a membership handbook that is given to every member of the National Alliance. The National Alliance membership handbook covers such subjects as rules of behavior for members, but it also covers such things as the long-range goals of the National Alliance. What sort of society do we want to have in the future after the present mess has been cleaned up? What sort of educational system? What sort of economy? What sort of government? I'm working on a new edition of our membership handbook at the moment, and so I've had to think about all of these things. In particular, I've had to deal with the problem of minimizing government corruption, of designing a government that is least likely to go astray, least likely to ignore its fundamental responsibility of safeguarding the freedom and welfare of the citizenry and promoting their progress, least likely to be subverted and taken over by our enemies, least likely to become like our present government in Washington. I'm not convinced that there is a perfect solution to this problem, but I do believe that we can do a much better job than we have done so far in America. Just having an ethnically clean citizenry without 30 million descendants of our former African slaves wrecking our cities and our schools and wielding a growing block vote in elections would be a huge step toward having a good government. Not having our mass media in the hands of the Jews would be an even bigger step forward. eliminating the whole business of party politics, which has been a dirty business from the beginning, also would give our people a much better chance of having an honest government. Many people in America will agree with one or more of these points, and I don't mean just the small, thoughtful minority of Americans. I don't mean just the people who listen to American dissident voices every week. I mean that many Sally Soccer Moms and Joe Sixpacks also will agree that, yes, blacks are really a worrisome problem, and it'll be hard ever to clean up the government when they make up such a big voting block. Or they will say, yeah, I agree with Billy Graham and Richard Nixon. The Jews have a stranglehold on the media, and that's not good for this country. Well, each of these problems that many people agree ought to be dealt with, the out-of-control black problem, the Jewish stranglehold on the media, and the circus-like nature of our electoral system, each of these problems grew out of the type of government we have now, the same governmental structure, the same governmental institutions. The weaknesses were there from the beginning. The problems may not have been apparent at the beginning, but the potential was there. And we can't get rid of any of these problems with the government as it is now. That is, we can't eliminate the black problem or the Jewish problem or the problem of party politics through the normal processes of the government we have now under the conditions that exist now. For example, we can't expect Congress to enact legislation stripping the Jews of their media control even if there were no constitutional conflicts, when every politician in Congress already has a string tied to him by the Jews who control the media. The problems confronting our people can be solved only by extraordinary means, by making a radical break with our present way of doing things. And that radical break, of course, cannot come from the established procedures of the present government. This is the sticking point for most people. They want solutions. They want an honest government. But they are afraid to do what is required to bring about an honest government. They don't want a revolution. They want a solution that is safe and nice, safe and peaceful. Blowing up buildings and destroying cities and killing a bunch of people with bombs and bullets is okay with them if it's on the other side of the world, in Afghanistan or Iraq. They can watch that on TV and still feel safe. But they definitely don't want that sort of thing happening close to home in Washington or New York or Los Angeles, where it will interfere with their shopping mall excursions and their ball game viewing. Even most members of the perceptive minority who think about our problems and worry about them much more than the Sally Soccer Moms and Joe Sixpacks do are afraid of the means necessary to eliminate the problems. Most of them also don't want a revolution. A few more episodes, like the Bush government's refusal to prosecute the huge Israeli spy ring the FBI broke up last year, however, will help many members of the perceptive minority accept the fact that revolution is the only solution. And if the FBI's failure to make an arrest in the case of the anthrax letters turns out also to be the result of pressure from the Bush government trying to avoid embarrassing its Jewish friends, and if the facts leak out anyway, even more thoughtful people will understand that the time has passed when a nice solution could have ended our problems. Well, the fact that things have to become even worse before enough people to do the job will be convinced that the job must be done shouldn't stop us from planning ahead and thinking about the sort of safeguards we need to build into a new government to make it less likely that it will be corrupted. Of course, all we can do now, and all I'm trying to do in the National Alliance Membership Handbook, is address our problems in a general sort of way. All I'm trying to do now is lay down the general principles that will guide us in building a new government. The details will involve much more work, and also many decisions that simply cannot be made now. Avoiding government corruption isn't the only thing of concern to the National Alliance. And in our membership handbook, we look at the sort of social structure and the sort of economy and the sort of educational system we want also. Just as in the case of government, however, our principles are quite at odds with the generally accepted notions today of how the economy and our educational system and our society should be run and what goals are proper for them. One ruling notion today is that sexual equality should be promoted at any cost. Equality between men and women in the workplace, equal roles in society, no distinction between men and women in education. The application of this notion has had many consequences, but the one with which I am most concerned is that it has caused the white birth rate to drop far below the replacement level. Either the white birth rate comes up, or we become extinct. That consideration must take precedence over all others. To get the white birth rate up, and not just the overall white birth rate, but especially the birth rate among our best white women, the ones with the best genes, we must structure our society and our economy and our educational system so that many fewer of our best women choose careers outside the home. We must give them strong incentives to marry early and have several children. We must put an end to the destructive propaganda that makes so many of them believe that to be a wife and mother is to be a failure, that a woman can only find happiness by being like a man. We must make it economically possible for a man to support a family without his wife and the mother of his children having to work outside the home. You know, we can quibble about many of the details, but we can't quibble about the fundamental fact that we must bring up our birth rate or we're finished. And you see, it's all tied together. The type of government, the type of society, the way the economy works, the things we teach our children, and the way in which we teach them. They're all interdependent. One becomes corrupted or subverted, and eventually they all become corrupted. To become healthy again as a people, we need to do many things differently. How we need to do them differently is what I've been concerned with in preparing the new edition of the National Alliance Membership Handbook. And as I said a minute ago, I've been thinking about how we ought to do things only in broad outline, only in principle. And my touchstone in setting down the principles that must guide the building of a new government, a new society, a new economy, and a new educational system, the touchstone is racial survival, racial health, racial progress. Everything that we do in the future must be guided by the single consideration. Will it help our people to survive and become healthy again? And this consideration and the principles that follow from it are radically opposed to the principles governing things in America today. There can be no smooth transition from one set of principles to the other. The transition will be revolutionary and undoubtedly very disruptive for everyone concerned. And that's why the National Alliance is an educational organization at this time. We can't even begin to implement the changes now we believe should be made. But we can get people to think and to plan now for the day when we can begin to implement changes. And that day comes closer every time the government in Washington does something like trying to cover for a huge Israeli espionage network and shows by its actions that it is more interested in protecting the Jewish spies than in protecting the American people. That day comes closer every time the government in Washington, through its Israel First policy, brings down on America a disaster such as the September 11th attack, and then claims it doesn't know why we were attacked, and continues with the same Israel First policy as before. Now, here's the good news. This sort of behavior by the government in Washington will continue. Some time ago, the government started down a slippery slope, and it is too far down now to be able to start back up or even to slow its slide. Can you imagine that smirking, feckless nincompoop we have in the White House now even wanting to stop the slide? He and his predecessor have gotten away with everything so far. Why should they even want to have an honest government? There would be no place in it for them except the end of a rope. The people who go into politics in America today are not revolutionaries. They are not men of principle. They are lawyers and businessmen. They are men who have learned how to go with the flow, men who have learned to lie convincingly and present a good image to the TV cameras. When they find themselves in a corrupt environment, their instinct is to adapt. And the Jews, who have a stranglehold on our mass media of news and entertainment, certainly won't be inclined to do anything but tighten their grip even more. They know that they have a tiger by the tail and that they dare not let go. They will continue leading our government to pursue policies favoring their people at the expense of our people. And so my prediction is that America will continue down the slippery slope faster and faster. America will experience embarrassment after embarrassment, disaster after disaster. The Sally Soccer Moms and Joe Sixpacks may remain largely oblivious to what is happening, but more and more members of the perceptive minority, the minority whose participation is necessary to keep the gears of government and the economy turning, will understand that radical change is necessary and cannot be postponed much longer. The principles in the National Alliance's membership handbook, which a year or two ago seemed quite theoretical, perhaps even irrelevant to most practical-minded people because there was no obvious way in which they could be implemented, are becoming less theoretical and more relevant with each passing year, indeed, with each passing month. Once again, the bad news is that America has gotten itself into a hell of a mess by not being careful enough about the principles by which she governed herself. The good news is that the mess is becoming more obvious, and the reaction is growing. And there is an organization, the National Alliance, that is concerned about matters of principle and is working to build itself into a force for putting its principles into practice. Perhaps you are one of those who should be working with us. Think about it. And thanks for being with me again today.